You guys grab a Bible. What we've been doing is we've been talking about grace. So for those of you that are new with us, this is now week 7 in a series on grace. We've been talking about grace. So here's the thing about grace is that most of us don't really know what grace is. So we're going to talk about that. You guys are just going to have to believe me. I ordered new Bibles, praise God. Do you guys love your Bibles? Anybody in here love their Bibles? Good. Okay, a couple of us. Here's what we're going to do first, though. We're going to pray right now. Jesus, we ask that you would come and be a part of this meeting. If you're not here, then all we're doing is we just got a Grange Hall going on here. And that's not what we're about. We're about you, Lord. So we ask that you anoint this meeting, that you come, that you open eyes that have been closed, that you soften hearts that have been hard, and ultimately that you would work your will in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, we're heading over to 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to talk tonight some more about grace. But 1 John, almost at the very end, 1 John, right? 1 John chapter 3. And what I wanted to do tonight is we're going to be talking about all kinds of things. We're going to be talking about family. We're going to be talking about loving one another. We're going to be talking about opening our hearts to one another. We're going to be talking about changing the way you think about the person sitting next to you is basically the idea. But before we get to that, what I want you guys to hear is I want you to hear what grace is. So here's what grace is. Grace is when you have earned garbage. You have earned hell. You have earned damnation. That's right. I said it. We're in church. It'll be okay. You have earned all kinds of horrible outcomes in your life, right? We have all sinned. It doesn't take anybody from any place, any time at all, to think back how long it was until they did something that they knew they shouldn't have done. It doesn't take anybody 3 seconds and they go, oh yeah, I did something I shouldn't have done. In fact, we could start right at the beginning. You're 2 years old, you're toddling along, your mom says, don't touch that. What do? You touch that, right? We start sinning from birth, basically, and we go on sinning. Here's the beautiful thing about grace. Jesus doesn't say, you can't ever sin anymore if you want to be with me. That's not what he says. Some of you may have never heard this before. This is a revolutionary, it's radical. In fact, Christianity is the only religion in all the world. Of all the world religions, we're the only ones that have grace. We're it. If you want to earn your way to heaven, you got to get it somewhere else. Because we don't have that here. Here's what we have here. We have, I want you to be my Lord. I trust that Jesus was born of a virgin, came from God, is God, died on the cross, rose from the dead, and I'm saying he's my God. And that's it. That's the whole thing. Now, your destiny is no longer hell, but heaven. And the thing that messes us up is we can't earn it. We always want to earn it. We have to earn money to go to the movies. We have to earn our way through school. We have to earn good grades. We have to earn good graces. We have to earn all kinds of stuff. Earn. American Way says, you must earn it. And Jesus says, I have given it to you. Free gift. You just got to take it. And we don't get that. And that's what we've been talking about these many weeks. We've been talking about all the different things that are examples of God's grace in our lives. And tonight we're going to talk about the family of God and what a blessing it is. In fact, the title tonight is The Gift of One Another. And there are some illustrations that I have of the gift of one another right there. Watch it happen. Bam. How you like me now? That's right. I got mad skills. Watch this. Here we go. We got another one. Ready? Bam. Oh, that's okay. We're working it out. You see that, right? Oh, we're too far. Back up a little bit. But just show the picture again, if you would. There wasn't a picture. There should be two pictures. Are there not two pictures? Oh, man. Everybody say, oh, That must be my bad. Show the only picture I put up there then. Can we do that? Lord, help us. We need to start fasting and praying for the sound tech thing, because it's like, first the sound didn't work, and now the computer's all on the fritz, and I don't even know what's going on. So anyway, but what we did is we went, 50 of us. Huh. What was what for? That was the group picture at ATF. Lord help us. All right. That's picture two. The first one's not working. That's working. All right. We'll keep the main thing the main thing. The idea is this. Oh, there it is. You never know. You never know. This is us working together, right? We are a team. We are a team. We are a team. That's fun, right? That's fun. Everybody wants to see themselves on camera. If we could put it back on the title slide, please. I love you guys. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing that we don't get is this. Ready? So look up here, because I'm about to revolutionize your world. Ready? We are family. We are family. We took 50 family members to acquire the fire. We hung out together, built some relationships, and it was crazy. We are family. In fact, we are not just a family. We are the family. We are the family of God. In fact, I'm going to prove it to you. Watch this. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 10. Ready? Watch this now. Here we go. Here we go. This is how we know we are the children of God. We are the children of God. This is how we know. Ready? We are the children of God. This is how we know. Verse 10. This is how we know we're the children of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Say, ooh. Who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. Nor is anyone who does not love his brother. I'm going to stop right there. I'll come back to it. Hang on. I'll answer your questions, but after. Here's how this goes. Ready? Watch this. Children of God and not children of God. There's only two choices. You got children of God and you got children of the devil. That's the only two choices you got, right? Children of God and children of the devil. And this is John. By the way, John hung out with Jesus all the time. He hung out with Jesus all the time. That's what John did. Hey, where's John? He's with Jesus. Do you guys know where John is? Yeah, he's with Jesus. What's going on? Hey, John owes me $5. Where's he at? He's over with Jesus. That's it. He was hanging out with Jesus all the time. And here's what John said. Look at this. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. And there's two things to make it happen. He says a child of the devil does not do what is right. And. This is goofy. That's right. And. Does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Now, Jesus already said this, right? He said the great commandment. We've been talking about the great commandment for a while. Great commandment is this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Anybody ever heard that before? Like three of you. Okay, good. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus already told. So John didn't even need to include the love your neighbor part. He didn't even need to include that. It's redundant. He's saying don't be mean in the first part. And then in the second part, he's saying if you want to be a child of God, also not only don't do bad stuff, but also love your neighbor. It's redundant. Why is it redundant? Here's why it's redundant. Ready? We suck at this. You missed it. We suck at this. No, here's the part we suck at. Watch this. We are not nice to our brother. Oh, we're not. We're not nice to our brother. Let's pick up the story. Pick up the story. 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 11. This is John. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. This is what you ought to do. You ought to love one another. Verse 12. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. By the way, Cain was a son of Adam. Like, bam, right there. So right off the bat, you got Adam, you got Eve, and then his child killing his brother. Cain and Abel. Lord help us. Do not be like Cain, who murdered his brother, the evil one, and murdered. Oh, wait. Belonged to the evil one and murdered his own brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. He was jealous. Verse 13, do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life. Can I hear an amen? Pass from death to life because we love our brothers. I hope that's true. Anyone who does not love remains in death. I hope that those of you who need to hear the word of God and are being convicted by it, it's not about me. This is about the Holy Scriptures being convicting. Because some of us are not good at this. We are not good at loving our brothers. And he's saying this is it, right? Love God and love your brothers. These are the commandments I leave you. This is Jesus' commandments right here. Starting in verse 15. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if your hearts do not condemn us, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask. That sounds good to me. Anything we ask, because we obey his commands and we do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded. To believe, it's not, this is not rocket science. Praise Jesus, because I'm not a rocket scientist. This is not rocket science. I want you to do two things, kids, okay? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and love your brothers. And loving God, we talked about this before. Loving God, that's the easy part, right? Why? Because God loved us first. He loved us. He lavishes his love on us. He shows us love in all kinds of ways. We've talked about this before. We talked about there's peace that we don't even understand. Like, life is crazy, out of control, nuts. And yet, we spend time with God and we're at peace in it. We know we have joy. Life is up, down, left, right, sideways. You don't even know. Some of you have never met Pastor Gary before, but I'm telling you right now, Pastor Gary is a man of God. You know how I can tell? Because he loves his brother. I'm his brother, and he loves me. And I'll show you this. When he is going through the crud, and I mean the crud, just a little while ago, his father-in-law died. His family's upside down. He's got all kinds of stuff going on in his life. And you know what? He comes into the office, and he says, let's pray. And you hear peace coming out of his heart. And joy. And you're like, how can you be going through all that stuff in your life and still come in here and have peace and joy? I don't get that. Because God is the God of his life and he loves his brother. He does the two things God asked him to do. And he is on fire for Jesus. And he walks like a man of God. And he speaks peace and joy. That's who he is. That's what he does. And I know some of you guys are searching for that. You go home and you lay down next to your pillow and you about ready to go to sleep and your life is upside down. And you're saying, man, this is horrible. I got this stuff going on in my life and this person said that about me and my teacher hates me and my friend stabbed me in the back and all this stuff going on in my life. It's horrible. I can't even sleep at night. My life's so lousy. And Jesus says, you got to do two things. You want peace and joy. You got to do two things. Love me and love your neighbor. I'm telling you, this is the secret formula for life. It is the secret sauce. If we could bottle it, we would be billionaires. But it's not about that. It's not about that. I haven't even started preaching yet. About to get started here in a minute. Here's the thing. Some of us live in this world where we're constantly walking like this. Because somebody is sneaking up behind us and about to stab us in the back. Anybody ever walk a little bit like that? Or you walk with a limp because somebody already stabbed you and now you're double cautious because you know somebody's going to sneak up behind you? Watch this, Psalm 55. King David dealt with this, Psalm 55. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were raising himself up against me, I could hide from him. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship, as we walked through the throng of the house of God. He is yelling at people. Why? Because he'd been stabbed in the back by his friend. David's upset. I got this on a slide. Go to the next one. Let's see if it works. Pray in the house of God. Lord, help the slide to work. How about that? God answers prayer. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. It's not the enemy that kills us, right? Because we see the enemy, we know the enemy, we identify him, we can block that. It's when we get stabbed in the back. Next slide, watch this. My companion attacks his friends. Do you guys know people like that? My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. Covenant's a fancy word for promise. His speech is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are smooth, smoother, more smoothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. Here's the thing. Here's the thing with this. I'll get that later. Here's the thing with this. We love to talk about when other people do this to us. My friend the other day stabbed me in the back. It is so deep. Will you help me pull this out? I can't even reach it. It hurts. It hurts bad because my friend stabbed me in the back. We talk about this and we gossip about it and we tell our friends about it. But here's the bottom line. Watch this. We do it too. I do it too. How do we get around this? See, this is the thing. God wants us to be in fellowship. He wants us to be family. Are you getting this? So here's the thing about it, right? This place, John, this place right here, it's got a name. We call this place refuge. You know what a refuge is? A refuge is a port in the storm. A refuge is a strong place where you can hide out when you're being attacked. A refuge is when you are being hunted, you can go somewhere and be protected. You are in the refuge. And here's the thing that I know, because I was a teacher for 10 years. High school, you will be hunted. People will chase you down and try to hurt you because it's all about superiority. And that's what we live with day after day. It doesn't matter if it's in your locker. It doesn't matter if it's at work, at Burger King. I don't care where you work. People are constantly, there's a pecking order. Where are you at on the list? Can you insult that person and get away with it? Good, because that puts you a little higher and them a little lower. That geeky kid that's walking by, yeah, I can trip him and knock him down because he doesn't have any power here. I have more power than he has. The girl who made the huge mistake with the boy, yeah, I'm going to text that all over school. You know why? Because I have power now and she doesn't. Makes me high and her low. I will put it on my Facebook. Y'all laughing because you know you're doing it. This place, though, this place here, this place has to be a refuge. This place, when you walk through these doors, when you hang out with these people, when you go to school and you see somebody in here, you should better know that they're not going to stab you in the back. And you better not be stabbing them in the back. Because we are a gift to each other. God said, love one another. He's only got two rules. Jesus said two rules. Love God and love one another. In fact, amplify it. Ready? Jesus said this. If your enemy wants you to carry his stuff for a mile, go with him too. Jesus said, pray for your enemy. Bless those who curse you. We're supposed to treat our enemies with kindness. That is upside down right there. Treat your enemies with kindness. Are you kidding me? Have you lost your mind? Pray for your enemies. Bless those who curse you. So if we're supposed to pray for our enemies, what are we supposed to do for our friends? What are we supposed to do with our friends? Pray with them, love them, carry their burdens. When they fall down, you pick them up. When they are lost, you help them find the way. When they are hurting, you comfort them. When they are broken, you help put them back together. This is not an easy message. It's not a super nice message, but this is the message of hope. I got a video about living with anger I'm going to show you guys. Watch this video and see this guy's anger. Watch it.
When I was about 5 years old, I got a rude awakening about who I was and what my color was all about. My uncle took me out in the backyard one day, and he says, "Ken, I want to tell you how rough your life is going to be growing up and living in Alabama." And he got down in a football stance, and he took off as fast as he could go. Hit me. Bam. I flipped over. Rocks and dust flying. And I cannot believe he had hurt me so badly. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Shut up. Stand back up there." Bam. Bam. 5-6 times. Bam. And I will never forget what he said. He took me. He stood me up. And he says, "Let me tell you something. Whites can never be trusted. You always have to keep your guard up. You must be better or they will make you worse." My life changed that day. I believed my uncle. And I graduated with honors in living that life. I was so mad and so prejudiced. All the times of walking to the back of that bus, it was about me. I saw what whites did and walked by that white school. It was illegal for someone that looked like me. He is not fit to play with our kids. And when I failed, calling me an animal, they came in like wolves. "I'm going to kill you. I am going to pay some folks back. And I'm going to beat you one way or the other. I'm going to hurt as many as I could. Set them afire. Beat up the homecoming queen." All that frustration. That's right. I was a maniac. I hated everybody. Anybody got in my way. I was driven by hatred. Driven. My life is miserable. White people have made it miserable. That was just emptiness. Not knowing God had a plan. But it's stubborn. God can call you boy. That's fine with me. He says, "I died for whites too. And if God died for everyone, who am I to have a prejudiced thought towards any of God's creatures?" Before I became a Christian, it was all about me. That's what I wanted. It's about my revenge. It's about my prejudice. I dropped that hatred of whites into the love of Christ. And that's why to this very day, I will fight for white, black, red, yellow, brown. Because the love of Christ changed me, protected me, accepted me. And I do the same for all people. Now, that old prejudice guy, married one of the whitest white women in the world. I got a cross-culture family. My wife is German descent. I'm black. We got 4 German chocolate kids. 2 boys, 2 girls. Gorgeous. They took out the mom. Praise God. Senior pastor of a large church. 65% of the church is white. 35% is all ethnic groups. Black, white, brown. Yellow. Woo. is Kent Hutcherson, and I am second.
Amen. So we don't live in a place so much where there's this huge divide between blacks and whites, but we have different divides. We've got Latinos and whites. We've got colors here. We don't have a lot of colors in here. Everybody doesn't look, right? But it doesn't have to be about color. For some of us, the divide is rich and poor, right? You know what I'm talking about. You've seen that divide. You've seen that. For some of us, it's the difference between dumb and smart. Oh, they're the smart ones. You're the dumb one. You're always going to be the dumb one no matter what. So just live with it. Every time. For some of us, it's just about popularity. We don't even know how you get popular. We don't know how you stay popular. If you are popular, you don't know why you're popular. You just go with it. But there's this divide between the kids who are popular and the kids who are not popular. And it's huge. It takes you 4 seconds to walk into a high school lunchroom and see where the popular kids are and where everybody else is. You can walk, anybody, any of you guys can do it. In fact, you can close your eyes and imagine it right now. Yeah, I can see where the popular kids are at. They're all over there. There's a little cluster of them there, and there's a cluster of them over there, and there's a few back there. Because they're popular, but they still don't like each other. I like to think that's true, but have you walked in high school? It is true, but we don't believe it. The thing is, the only way that we can make any dent in that, any difference in that, is to come together right here and say, we are a blessing to each other. We are a blessing to each other. And even in this room, you walk through the door of this room and you see some popular kids and some unpopular kids in this room. You see some upperclassmen and they won't hang out with the lowerclassmen. You see some smart kids, some homeschool kids, some I go to this high school kids, some that I go to that high school kids, and I'm just going to hang out with my friends. I'm not going to get outside of my bubble. I'm just going to stop right here because that's it, as far as I can go. Because this is where I know I'll be accepted. This is where I know that people will listen to me. This is where I know that people will value what I have to say. These are the people that I call when I'm hurting. And I'm not saying that everyone in here is going to be friends with everyone else. I'm asking too much. But you can be friends with more people than you thought you could. There's just all kinds of craziness. What's going on, guys? You're in the wrong room. There's a divide between high school and not. I'm just saying. We're segregating. Some of you guys are excited about that. Some of you guys are sympathetic for the junior hires. So after this is over, you can hang out with junior hires all night. Praise God. But here's the thing. For some of us, what it comes down to, the bottom line is this. Ready? I'm going to say the word. Pain. The bottom line is pain. I've been stabbed by that person. I'm not going to trust them anymore. I've got pain. My parents told me about that family. I'm not going to trust them anymore. I've got pain. So-and-so did something to my friend, so I don't trust them anymore because my friend has pain, so I have pain. We have hurt. We have anger. We have disgust. We have mistrust. So the question is, can we, like Mr. Hutchinson, can we move from a place of mistrust and hatred and anger to a place of forgiveness, a place of trust, a place where we give grace the way God gave grace to us? See, now I'm asking you to change. And that's not easy. Pain is difficult to deal with. And here's the thing. I wasn't even planning on preaching about forgiveness, but I can't not preach about forgiveness. Here's the thing. If you want to love your brother, you've got to forgive him. What I said is, if you want to love your brother, you have to forgive them. And sometimes you're forgiven something so big you can't even fathom forgiven. The anger is so deep inside of you that it comes from the heels all the way through the top of your head. You can't even think about forgiving them. They hurt you in a way you can't even describe. How can you possibly be friends with them? How can you possibly love them? Here's the thing. Forgiveness is by grace. Trust is by works. And this is a big deal, people. So look at me here. Forgiveness is by grace. You forgive because God forgave you. Trust is by works. You don't have to give them your heart again. You don't have to trust them with watching your back again. But you do have to forgive them. When we were at a Choir of the Fire, there was this thing that happened. It was a drama. And there was a character in the drama who had wrecked a car into another family and killed a child in that car. And that was part of the drama. And she was so angry all the time, bitter, angry. You guys know people like this. Something happened in their childhood. Their dad beat them when they were a kid, or somebody said something and it just stuck, and now they've got this horrible nickname everywhere they go, and people pound on them and pound on them and pound on them with this nickname. You know people like this, and the girl in the drama represents you because she was angry and bitter all the time, always trying to make myself look good and make everyone else look bad. She was gossiping, and she was spreading rumors, and she was trying to hurt other people so everybody else would hurt like she hurt. And the only thing that set her free was forgiveness. She was forgiven, and she forgave. I want this place to be a refuge. I want those doors to be a place that anyone can walk through. And that means that you all are going to have to come to a place where you walk in forgiveness, because there'll be people that walk through those doors that you don't want to see. In fact, there may be people in this room that you don't want to see. But we can't love each other if we're carrying around anger and bitterness and resentment. We can't do it. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "You've got gifts for me. I love your gifts. I want your gifts. Bring me your gifts. Because as I give to you, you give to me. This is how a relationship works. But here's the thing. Before you leave your gift for me, you go make it right with your brother. I don't even want your gift until you have gotten it right with your brother or sister." The Bible says that when we worship God, we can call it a sacrifice of praise. We love, we lift our hands, we sing with our voices, we sing with our spirit. We worship God because He is worthy, He is awesome, He is excellent. He has set us free from the chains and the sin. He has set us free, and He is worthy of our praise. And we bring the sacrifice of praise, and God says this: if you haven't forgiven your brother, I don't want it. You got to get right with your brother first. Then come to me, I will change you from the inside out. I will refresh you. I will give you peace and joy like you've never known. Beyond what you thought or dreamed could possibly happen, I will set you free from things you didn't even know you were addicted to. Now, that's great, Pastor Chris, but you don't know about that person. You know what that person did to me? You can't even believe what that person did to me. No, I know. People in this room have been raped. People in this room have been lied to and stolen from. People in this room have had all kinds of horrible things happen to them. I know, I've heard some of your stories. I know. But God's love is greater. He loves you more. And He's filled you with love so you can love more. You got to get to the place. It's not about me anymore. And you get to the end of yourself and you realize that it's not about you. That's when you are set free. And you won't believe the kind of things that can happen. You won't believe it. I'm smiling. Maybe some of you guys have seen this smile before. Some of you never seen this smile before. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm smiling because I'm smiling because there's some people right here that are going to be set free from things they didn't even know were bugging them. I'm smiling because the Holy Spirit is going to set people free from anger and wrath and judgment and the justice that they thought they could bring. He's going to set them free. Jesus says, you don't have to be the person of justice, because whatever you think you can do to avenge yourself, to make it right, God's going to do that way better than you could have anyway. He'll make it right. God said, vengeance is mine. I will avenge. I will make it right. I will take care of it. If you think you can punish that other person who hurt you by spreading rumors or by punching their lights out, making them bleed, you think you can hurt them by stealing their friends or destroying a relationship that they have that's important, you think you can hurt that person? You can't touch them the way God can take care of it. And you have to ask yourself this question. Okay, so look up here. This is an important question you guys have to ask yourself. Look up here. I'm serious. Look up here. Here's a question. Ready? Do you want them to go to hell? Do you want them to go to hell? A little tougher now. If you're going to wish them to go to hell, now you answer to God for that. But if you don't wish them for hell, then you let God take care of it. You let God take care of it. There's some people that need prayer. There are some people in this room that need a release of the Holy Spirit so that they can release their anger, so that they can release their bitterness, so that they can release the pride that has put a wall between them and forgiveness. Because until you forgive, you can't have family. And that's what we're going to be about. This place is going to be a refuge. This place is going to be a safe place. This place is going to be a place where you can get prayer, where you can get healed, where you can get wisdom, where you can get peace in your heart, and you can walk in joy. Because you're not worried somebody else is going to stab you in the back. This is going to be a safe place. If you can't handle that, I love you and I want you, but you can't be here. That's the way that is. Because it's going to be a safe place here. We are a refuge. I'm going to dismiss early tonight. Some of you are thanking Jesus right now. I can hear you. Thanking Jesus in your hearts. I know. It's okay. We're going to dismiss a little bit early. And here's why we're going to dismiss early. Because in the past, I have given people an opportunity to pray and you haven't prayed. But you knew you needed to pray. And that stops here tonight. I'm not going to pray. I'm going to stand over here. You guys are going to come up here and you're going to get on your knees before God and you're going to ask him to take away your malice, take away your rage, take away your anger, take away your bitterness. You're going to ask him to do that because you know in your heart that is exactly what you've been carrying all this time and you don't have to carry it anymore. You do not have to carry it anymore. Jess, will you come and play for me, please? Tim, will you turn these lights down for me, please? I'm going to pray and dismiss. And if you know you need to be here, you get here. If you're ready to walk out of here and not change, you can go that way and through there, and there's a gym over there, and you can pretend like nothing happened. We're going to pray. Holy Spirit, we love you. We worship you tonight, Lord God, and we praise you because you can set us free. You can change our culture. You can build a place, a refuge, a safe place, a harbor for us in the storm, a place where we can come and rest. We can hear your voice. We can get healed. We can be set free. We can be transformed. We can become new creations in you. That is our cry, Lord. I pray tonight that you would show up in such a way that no one would be able to deny it. That there would be such a move of your Spirit with power that it would change lives from the inside out. Oh, Jesus, come and move among us. Come and move among us. We will give you the glory. We will worship you tonight. We will worship you tonight. We will worship you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. If you need that, if you need to be set free from that, get on your feet and come down here right now. Come on, let's go. You guys know you need it. Get up here. Kneel at the altar. This is between you and God. This is between you and God. This is between you and God. Jesus, 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 Jesus. We love you, Lord. We worship you tonight. We worship you tonight. Let me bring it down. We worship you tonight. Hey, before you go, I want to say a couple quick things. I want to pray with some of you because you're getting there, but you're not all the way there. And I want this to be a safe place. And some of you in this room, there are people that you need to go to and ask to forgive you. There are people that you need to go to and say, I don't know if you thought I was mad at you, but I'm not mad at you. I already forgave you. Maybe it's something you remember and they don't even remember. People may come up to you and say, I need you to forgive me because when we were in seventh grade, we were at camp and I said this something to you and it stuck with me and I don't even know if you remember it, but I need you to forgive me. And you'll go, I don't even know what you're talking about, but I release you. You're forgiven. Because this happens to us, right? We get like this. We say things and they stick in our memory. I remember when I was a fourth grader making fun of a girl. And it bothered me and bothered me and bothered me and bothered me until I gave it over to Jesus. Some of you guys need to ask for forgiveness from other people in this room. Because this is going to be a safe place. This is going to be a refuge. This is going to be a place where we are family. We're going to show love. We're going to forgive. We're going to walk in grace and in peace and in joy. Before you go anywhere, you should give away some nice hugs. Say you love people. You're dismissed tonight.